Okay, we're beginning a new day and a new week and a new sugya mitzvah Hashem. We're on the Chaf Vav Omed Aleph. On the fourth line, Omer Reb Shimon. So in order to appreciate what's going on, let's first go back to the Mishnah on the Chaf Dalad Omed Beis, right at the bottom. We were discussing the four different psulim. Whether it's Mesachik, Bekuvia, etc., etc. And one of those mentioned was the Soichare Shvius. The Soichare Shvius. Now, let's just remind ourselves of one of two basic halachas of Hilchas Shvius. Are you allowed to pick food and gather it in from the field on Shmita? And the answer is absolutely you are. The Torah says, Lochem Leochla. However, you have to be particular if you are going to pluck food off the trees. You've got to eat it by the given allotted time. There is what's called the Zman Biur, at which point you've then got to discard everything that you've collected. But until that point, you can collect as much as you need. You cannot, however, collect more than you need, number one. And you also can't do Schoira. Schoira means you cannot do business with Peiro Shvius, you cannot take food off the tree in order to sell it, or you cannot buy somebody else's Peiro Shvius and then sell it at a higher price. It's there for free, it's for you, and for that matter, it's for everybody else as well. As we know, if you have a field of Shmita, then you've got to leave it Hefka. Anybody can walk in and they can take what they need. There is a Shiur Gimel Seudos, we're not going to get involved in that now, but essentially, whatever you need, you may indeed take. Like I said, there's two conditions. Number one, you eat it by the given time, which is called the Zman Biur. And number two, you cannot do Schoira in Peiro Shvius. Our Mishnah is clearly talking about somebody who does Schoira in Peiro Shvius. By the way, there is a halacha, chidush, that if you take food from the field with honest intention to eat it, not in order to sell it, and then it got left over, meaning you served your meal, and now there's an apple left over, I have nothing to do with it. Now, in fact, you are allowed to sell it. The issa of schoira only applies, according to many Rishonim, if it was initially plucked from the field with intent to sell it. Back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah is listing out all the psulim, posel eidos, mesachik, bekuvia, etc., etc. And it says there, v'soichare shvius, v'soichare shvius. So those people who do business with peiro shvius, so that's awesome. Now the Mishnah says, Omer Rabbi Shimon, says the Mishnah, b'tchilo hoyu koirin oison oisfei shvius. Very unclear what this line of the Mishnah means. In the beginning, they didn't call these people Soichare Shvius, Soichare from the Lashon of Schoira, business, but they called them Oisvei Shvius, collectors. Collectors of Shmita produce. However, Mishe Rabu Ho'anosin, when the Anosim came in, we'll see what Anosim means in a moment, then they changed it, Chazru, Likroison Soichare Shvius. So Rashi over there said two words, Mefarish B'Gemara. Very, very cryptic line. What is the difference? Why are they calling them Soichare Shvius, Oisvei Shvius? What happened? Why did they change? It's all very, very vague. So now let's have a look at our Gemara, Chof Vov Omed Aleph. Omar Reb Shimon, the end of the fourth line. Omar Reb Shimon. Bitchila hoyu koirin oison oisve shvir, says the Gemara, my ka'omar. As we always point out, ka'omar does not mean what does it say, it says what does it mean. We know what it says, but we don't understand what it says. So my ka'omar, what is being said over here? What's the meaning of the words of the Mishnah? Omar Rav Yehuda, Hochi Ka'omar, this is what it means. So let's go slowly. Bitchila Hoyu Oimrim. In the beginning, They would say, this is what they initially paskened. Bitchilo hayu kairin oison hayu oimrim oisve shvies ksherin. In the beginning, they would say that anybody who is a Shemitah fruit collector is kosher, but soicharin absolim. So initially, they clearly made a distinction between collectors of Shemitah food as opposed to traders in Shemitah food. Now, that distinction, l'chayra, makes perfect sense. Those people who collected peiros shvius, that's no problem. As long as you collect it from the field with intent to eat it and to eat it before the zman habiur, then you're doing nothing wrong. That's why you'll be kosher eidos. However, if you were not an oisvei shvius, but rather you were soicharei shvius, well, obviously that's much worse. That's a clear avera, because you've got no intent to eat the food. Rather, you pluck the food in order to do business with it. So you clearly have shown that you have a big chemdas momoin, a desire for money, and that's what always puzzles him from eidos. So look at the very top Rashi. Oisvin ksherin. They used to say that those who collect Shemitah produce are kosher. Why? The motzi lemechlenu, because he's able to eat it. Koidem zman habir, before the zman habir, so he's done nothing wrong. And if he's done nothing wrong, I've got no reason to doubt his intentions. And if he says he's planning on eating it, then he says he's planning on eating it. What will he do in the future? Well, I'm not a Novi, but he's able to eat it before the Zman Biur. I have no doubt that's what he's planning to do. Therefore, there's no reason to puzzle him for Eidus. But if he's a Soichare Shvius, if he never plucked it in order to eat, but rather he gathered it in order to sell, well, then he would be considered puzzle. So that's what, in the beginning, they said. So Chazal made a distinction between Oisvei Shvius, who are kosher eidos, as opposed to soichare shvius, who are posel for eidos. Says the Gemara, but then a problem developed. Mi sherabu, but then there was a ribui. What does a ribui mean? There was a whole increase in the following phenomena. Mi sherabu mamtsiei mo'ois la'aniyim. People who are providing money for poor people, we'll explain this in a moment. The Ozli Aniyim, and the Aniyim went, the Osfiluhu, and they gathered in the fruit, Umaisu, and they brought it. Chazruloima, we'll explain this in a moment. At that point, Chazal changed their mind and they said, I'm very sorry, Echodzeh. Now we are no longer making a distinction. Both Oisfin and Soicharin are all possible. So what's going on? What was going on was, and Rashi explained this, and we'll see this in a moment. There were wealthy people who wanted indeed to get involved with Peiros Shvius. They used to hire poor people. And they used to say, listen, here, we're going to pay you $100. You go into the fields and collect a whole bunch of food for us. And then you're going to sell it to us. Now, there is nothing wrong with paying a worker on Shemitah to pluck food for you. There's no issa in that. That's not called schayra. I'm not paying for the fruit. Rather, I'm paying you for your work. When the Torah outlaws schayra, all it means is that the food itself must not be charged for. But if you charge for your services to pluck food off the tree, then that's perfectly okay. So had the wealthy people just sent the aniyim into the fields in order to do the dirty work for them, we cannot be bothered to dirty our hands by climbing up the tree to collect some oranges. So please could you, and then bring back the oranges? That wouldn't be a problem, because then I'm not paying the Aniyim for the money, for the food. Rather, I'm just paying them for the work. You're allowed to pay person for the work. That's not a problem. However, that's not what was being done. Rather, those who wanted to provide, as it were, Aniyim with Parnosa, what they did was they told the Aniyim, go into the fields, pluck some fruit, and then we'll buy it off you. We'll buy it off you. And we'll buy it off you. So if that's the case, when the Aniyim are plucking the fruit, what are they now doing it for? For what intention? To sell to the wealthy people. To sell to the wealthy people. Well, if that's the case, they're now getting involved in Schoira. And this apparently was a rampant phenomena in Klal Yisrael. At that point, Chazal said, okay, we're changing. And we are no longer distinguishing between Oisfin and Soicharin. We've got to outlaw all of this. And everybody's posel fadus. Now, simply speaking, this obviously does not make any sense. Because if you're now going to puzzle everybody for Eidos, so how on earth does anybody go into a field on Shemitah to collect fruit? If I go in perfectly innocuously and innocently and I collect my three oranges, what are you going to tell me? Yes, you're not involved in Schoira, you're only involved in Ois Feishvias, but I'm sorry, we no longer distinguish. Well, that means everybody in Klal Yisrael is posel Eidos. That's absurd. So what does it mean? How can you tell me that initially there was a distinction between Oisfin and Soicharin, but once this whole Soicharin phenomenon got out of hand, now we don't distinguish? Well, then that means everybody in Klal Yisrael is posel Eidos. Who's not posel Eidos? So have a look at Rashi on the top line. V'oz li aniyim osfi luhu. So the Aniyim went and they gathered for them. Bishvil hamois, says Rashi. They are doing it in order to get money. This was the Aniyim's parnosa. They went into the field. They did the dirty work by collecting the pay raise, and then the Ashirim paid them. And if that's the case, they have now just become Soicharim of Shvi'ez, V'rachmona Omar, the Torah writes, Le'ochla, quote-unquote, V'loy l'schoira. The Torah clearly says that Peiros Shvi'ez are there for eating, but not to do business with. Okay, we understand the problem. How does that now fit in the Mishnah? Says Rashi, V'hochi mashma masnisim koma. And this is what the Mishnah is. Mashma, this is how you've got to now read the Mishnah. Bitchilo le'elu ha'psulin achshav mishum soichare shviyis ha'yukairin oison oisvei shviyis. So Rashi is answering our question. The Gemara never meant to say that now everybody is posel, both Soicharin and also Oisfin. That's not what it means. If that's what it would mean, then basically you've just gone and posseled every member of Klal Yisrael from Eidos, because lots of people are Oisfin. That's not what it means. What it means is these people who are posel, why? The real psulim. The ones who are involved in Soichare Shvi'is. What did they used to be called? The halacha is not changing, just the title's changing. What did we used to call these people? People who go into the field, they gather fruit with view to do Schoira. What would they were called? What was their title? They used to be called Oisvei Shvi'is. Oisvei Shvi'is. In other words, Oisvei Shvi'is, literally translated, gatherers of Shvi'is, used to have a very negative connotation. It was a derogatory term for those who are gathering Shvi'is fruit, but not to eat, rather to sell. So look again at that Rashi. V'hochi mashma masnisin, this is what the Mishnah meant. What used to be the case and what's now the case? V'tchelo initially le'elu hapsulin achshov, to those who are now possible because they're collecting fruit in order to sell, mishum soichare shvi'is, because they're doing schir with shvi'is, but in the beginning, hayu kairin oison, they would call them, quote unquote, oisvei shvi'is. So oisvei shvi'is used to mean that you are somebody collecting shmita food in order to sell. One second, maybe I missed the translation of Rashi. I apologize. V'hochi mashma masis in betchila le'elu hapsulin achshav mishum seichare shvi'es hayu kairin oison oisvei shvi'es v'ksheirin misherabu ho'anosin. Once there was an increase of these anosin, these wealthy people taking advantage of the poor people, chazru likrois es ha'oisvin Soicharim, quote unquote, upsulim, and they now made them posel. So why would they initially have been deemed kosher?
They were just ousted.
You know, the thing is as follows. This was the point. When I see somebody gathering a large amount of fruit from a field, if a person just goes into a field and he takes his two oranges, I've got no grounds for suspicion. It doesn't look like he's planning to open up a whole greengrocer. All he did was took an orange off the tree. So what's he planning on doing with it? Obviously, he's planning on eating it and everything is fine. What's the halacha if I see a guy go into a field and collect 1,000 oranges? Is that suspicious or is not suspicious? And this is what changed. It used to be that we gave him the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because like we said, we're not a Navi. We don't know his intention, but I do know that he could, in theory, eat all of these fruits by the Zman of the Biur. Let's assume that was taka physically possible. So why should I assume that, no, actually he's planning to open up a whole business and let's puzzle him for Eidus? No. So what did we call these people? We call these people oisvei shvi'is. They're gatherers, they're not doing business, and therefore there's no reason to puzzle them. They can jolly well be kosher. However, when Rabu Ho'anosin, these wealthy people, came along and started setting up these mass business deals with Shemitah, so now if a person walks into the field and collects 1,000 peiros, I have to be very suspicious. And I have to assume, he's clearly one of this trend in Klal Yisrael that's doing what? He's obviously planning on selling it to the wealthy person. He's not an oisef of shvi'is, he's a soicher of shvi'is. So we asked before, does this mean that every member of Klal Yisrael has just become posel le'edus? Absolutely not. Those people who are not collecting suspicious looking amounts of fruit, of course they'll be kosher. So those people who go in every day and they collect their fruit for the day, they collect their three oranges and two apples, nothing suspicious, never was, not is now either, and they are perfectly kosher for Eidus. No change happened with regard to them. Where was the change? The change was the people who are mass gatherers. What is their intention? So it used to be that we would call them oisvei shvi'is, gatherers, not traders. We didn't call them seicharin. Why? Because we gave them the benefit of the doubt, because at the end of the day, it is possible for them to eat it before the biur. So yes, it is a bit interesting why they're collecting such a large amount, but we gave the benefit of the doubt. But once this whole phenomena became prevalent in Klal Yisrael, that wealthy people who couldn't be bothered to do the dirty work themselves were now investing, were telling Aniyim to go into the field, and they would buy the food off them. So it turns out that anybody in the field now gathering 1,000 fruit, I can no longer give them the benefit of the doubt. So I'm afraid to say we have to now give you a new title. The assumption is you're not an Oisve Shvius, you're a Soicher Shvius. And if you're a Soicher of Shvius, you have to pass the Leufeidus. Have a look at the Mishnah again, see how this fits in the words of the Mishnah. Turn back to Chof Dalad Omen Beis. Where the Mishnah says, Omer Rabbi Shimon, B'tchilo ha'yukairin oison oisve shvius. In the beginning, they would call these people oisve shvius. Which people? People going in, taking large amounts. But misherobu ha'anosin, when these anosim, these forces, like the word oinos, we'll see exactly more about that word in a moment. When this whole phenomenon started with the wealthy people, etc., Chazru, they changed it, Likroisam, and they now call them Soichare Shvius. And if that's the case, they're possible for Eidos. Now, one thing never changed, or actually two things never changed. The guy who goes in and he takes his two oranges from a tree, no change happened with regard to him. There's nothing suspicious, never was, never will be. So too, the other side of the coin. If somebody went into the field and announced clearly that he's opening a greengrocer, well, obviously he was posel eidos. He's a clear seicher for shvius. That also never changed. What did change? What changed is the person for whom we don't know what his intention is. He gathers in a large amount of peiros. It used to be that the assumption was, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Probably he's just an oisve shvius. We no longer give him that privilege. We have to now assume that he's probably jumping on the bandwagon. He's probably trying to make big money because this is a very common phenomena. He therefore is now considered a soicher of shvius. And if that's the case, he's posel leidus. This, yes, this is the first pshat in the Mishnah.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
The Ashiram, they're still the kosher apostle also, the ones that motivated them and said, listen, I'll buy from you. Is it just the Aniyim that apostle, or is it the...
I'm not sure. It's a good question. I had this doubt as well. I'm not sure.
Because there's a kasha of lefnei iver asite mirshol.
Right. Yeah, 100%. It may well be. Yeah, I'm not sure. But for the moment, definitely the Aniyim. So that is the first pshat in the Mishnah. Now, look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Koshu ba b'nei Rechava. The b'nei Rechava, I'm not sure if Rechava is the name of a town or a place, the people who lived in Rechava, Koshu ba, they had a difficulty. They did not like this pshat. Why? Hi. This phrase in the Mishnah, quote unquote, Misherabu ha'anosim. Why are you calling them anosim? Misherabu hatagorim miboyalei? Question mark. You know what it should have said? Miboyalei means it should have said tagorim. What's a tagor? A tagor is a businessman. Anosim, from the word oinus, oinus normally means to force somebody to do something. So if the Mishnah is really describing a phenomenon in which wealthy people ask poor people to collect money from the fields and then sell it, why are you referring them to them as anosim? Call them tagorim. Tagor is a businessman. So the Mishnah really should have said, initially we give them the benefit of the doubt, but now these tagorim, when the whole phenomena of business people now has got into out of hand, so now we can't give them the benefit of the doubt. But why on earth are you calling them anosim? Nobody's forcing anybody to do anything. So I'm very sorry, says the B'nai Rechava, we have to now suggest a new pshat in the Mishnah. We cannot accept your pshat in the Mishnah. Your pshat in the Mishnah does not justify calling these people. Whoopsie, has it gone all pink? One second.
Not very
right. Rabbi, shut your video up for a second. Yeah. Okay, you're good.
Very strange. I don't know why this is happening. Okay. But we cannot justify why these people called anosim. We should have called him Tagorin, and it doesn't say Tagorin. And if it doesn't say Tagorin, well, that would suggest that there's a different shot in the Mishnah. And it's something to do with anosim, something to do with forcing. Something to do with forcing. But I'm sorry to tell you, your pshat has nothing to do with forcing. So therefore, we cannot understand why the Mishnah is calling them anosim. Okay, so let's hear a different pshat. Says the Gemara now, a brand new, totally different pshat. Elo, our favorite word, elo. A new pshat. And he learns now the other way around. Bitchilo hoyu oimrim echod ze ve echod ze psulim. It used to be that both this and that, we'll explain in a moment, were puzzle. Not it used to be that they're kosher and now we made them puzzle. The first pshat in the Mishnah is saying that we used to consider them kosher, we now consider them posel. He's learning the other way around. We used to consider them posel, and now we've made them kosher. Who? What? Which? Says the Gemara, Misherobu ha'anosin. When the forces came along, who was that? Umayninu, what is that? Arnona. Arnona is the taxation enforced by the king. That satisfied the words anosim. A new phenomenon started that the king used to come along and force the people to pay heavy taxation. So then it all changed. What changed? Kedemachriz Rabbianai. As Rabbianai announced, and he said as follows, five words, quote unquote, Puku Vezoru Bishvies Mishomar Nona. Go out and sow the fields in Shemitah because of Arnona. They were being oppressed, and he permitted them. We'll see in Rashi and Tosas how on earth he could permit such a thing. He permitted them to go and sow and cultivate the land in Shemitah in order to raise funds for the purpose of paying the king taxation. If that's the case, now they said, it used to be that everybody was posel, now we're going to make a distinction. Oisfin ksheirin, soicharin psulin. Who are the oisfin and who are the soicharin? So look at Rashi. Arnona, on the second narrow line, mas. It's the taxation shegoiva hamelech min hatvuois that the king used to collect from the produce, kach v'kach kurin, a certain amount of kurin min hasodeh l'shona, per field, per year. So anybody who had a field was expected to pay a certain amount of produce. So what are you going to do in Shemitah? In Shemitah, your land is not producing any produce. How on earth are you going to be able to pay this enforced taxation by the king? And the answer is, when this phenomena started, Rabbi Yanai gave them a heter to work the land on Shemitah. Can you believe it? How on earth was he allowed to give them this heter? After all, the Torah writes quite clearly that you're not allowed to sow the land in Shemitah. So how can he allow them to do so? Says Rashi, Puku zoru b'shvies, shvies bizman hazed rabbonon. It's true that min ha-toira, you're not allowed to sow the land in Shemitah. But bizman hazed, by the way, this applies in our times as well, Shemitah is no longer min ha-toira, it's only mid rabbonon. Why? De botla kedushas ha-oretz. Because the Kedusha of the land has been nisbatel, not getting involved in the whole discussion of why that exactly is. Does that mean Eretz Yisrael no longer has Kedusha? It does have Kedusha, it doesn't have Kedusha. Not so much our discussion. Bottom line is, Shmito bizman hazeh is only a drabono. Now, if it's only a drabbanon, chas v'sholom, it doesn't mean you don't have to keep it. But at least it gives license for Chazal to be lenient under extenuating circumstances. Were it to be min ha-toira, well, I'm sorry, it's bad luck, even though you're in big financial trouble, but I can't undo a mitzvah. But says Rashi that nowadays, shmito bizman hazeh is only a drabonon. So Chazal could say, okay, if it's only a drabonon, under ordinary circumstances, you would have to keep shmita, but these are extenuating circumstances. Why are they extenuating? Because Robu Ha'anosin, because the king was so oppressive that he was demanding that people should pay this produce, this taxes, even though they had no way of doing so because their fields were not producing food. So they made a special dispensation. So according to this new Mahalach, how must you read the Mishnah? What did they initially say and what do they now say? They used to say that anybody who either works the land on Shemitah or trades in Shemitah produce, they're both posel leidos. That used to be the case. Now they changed and they created a leniency. And they said, you're only posel leidos if you're a soicher. But if you're an oisef, if you gather in produce, meaning you work the land in order to gather produce to pay for the king, we are no longer going to passel you for eidos. Because even though essentially you're over an issa, but because Shmita Bizman HaZeh is only a derabbanon, therefore we waive this halacha. They did not waive the halacha of Schayra for whatever reason, but they did waive the halacha of planting the field. So according to this pshat in the Mishnah, it's really the opposite of the first pshat. The first pshat is that we used to be lenient and now we had to create a new issa. What was the new issa? Those who collect a lot of pay rates in the field, I'm sorry to say that arouses suspicion. And if it arouses suspicion, we have to be concerned that maybe they're actually doing so in order to do schayra, so we passel them. Whereas according to the second pshat, to the contrary, we are not more strict than we used to be. We're actually more lenient than we used to be. Because it used to be that both those who traded in Peyre Shvias and those who worked the land on Shvias were both passel. Now one of those psulim have disappeared. If you're a trader of Peyre Shvias, yes, you're possible. But if you work the land, you are okay. How can that be? So Rashi said, because Shmita Bizman HaZeh is only Drabonon. And if it's only Drabonon, Chazal waive the halacha. We'll have to see, Mitzvah Hashem, have a look in time for tomorrow at the very top Tosfos. Tosfos at the top also deals with this question of how could Chazal be Mate the Issa on Shmita? So Tosfos gives Rashi's teretz and gives another teretz as well. Mr. Hashem will take this up tomorrow. But just before we, yeah, Larry, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, up until now, all the psulim on Eidos was related to Gzela. What's the Gzela relation here?
Which case? On Schayra, it's the same thing.
Why is it Gzela?
Because you are showing a chemda for mammon. We said that it's not real Gezer, but whenever you show your over desire for money, to the extent that you're even going to be over Isurim in order to accrue money, then that's like a type of Gezel. You're in the same category as somebody who steals money.
Yeah, but in this case, the rich people are saying to you, look, you need my, I'm willing to help you. So that's, it's not true. Like you're...
They have no hatred to do so. The Torah says you cannot do Schayra. So for their rich desire to become wealthy or to earn money, they're prepared to bend the rules of the Torah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ibn Hashem, tomorrow we will begin with the top Tosfos. Then we'll continue the Gemara. Now, tomorrow night, I'm actually traveling, Mitzvah Hashem, to Chutz La'aretz for a couple of days. So Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, I will not be here. I'm going literally in and out. I'll be back on Wednesday evening already. And in fact, there might even be Parash Hashem, I'm not sure. But tomorrow is going to be the last time that we learn this week. But either way, tomorrow we'll start with the Tosfos at the top of the Omud, and we'll continue the Gemara as well, Mitzvah Hashem.